Welcome to the 5 Series, a series for teens and college students with the objective of reflecting over the 5 pillars of Islam in a really beautiful and concise manner and answering questions that we all have about our faith. To continue efforts like this, visit rootsdfw.org/sustainyouth and help us create more content just like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us.
Alrighty, bismillah, alhamdulillah, as-salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of our 5 series where we dive into the details of our faith, the foundations of it, and also understanding and creating a relationship with better than we have ever had before. And so far, alhamdulillah, we've covered 12 episodes of our series. They're all up on the Qalam podcast. They're all up on the Facebook Live, I believe. On the videos under the videos tab on the Roots DFW Facebook page, and also on the Instagram IGTV series. You can kind of see under the 5 series, you'll see all the episodes uploaded there. So if anybody wants to catch up or missed any of previous episodes, you are obviously more than welcome to go ahead and catch up via that. So the session tonight is going to be one that is extremely vivid. Extremely descriptive. I would go as far as to say that this may be the most descriptive session of the entire series. The amount of literature that is present, that is available about this topic is a large amount. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran over and over and over again describes the topic that we're going to be talking about tonight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over and over again describes the details of what to expect in both of these circumstances in the Quran. So alhamdulillah, tonight, inshallah, we're going to be talking about the reality of Jannah and Jahannam, the reality of paradise and the reality of hellfire. How can we attain paradise? How can we avoid the hellfire? And how do we as people find motivation? How do we find our motivation towards something that is known as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's paradise? So without further ado, what we're going to reflect on first, the first thing we're going to be reflecting on inshallah together is, what are the details? What are the details of Jannah that motivate you? That's the question to start off with, okay? So everyone, I want everyone to kind of like focus, and I want everyone to reflect here. So what are the descriptions of Jannah that really, really motivate you as a person? What are the descriptions of Jannah that motivate you as a believer? What does it do for you, right? This is the question that we want to ask today, inshallah. What are the details of paradise that motivate you as a person? Something that you can visualize, something that you almost can see, like, you know what, I know this description of paradise and I want it, I want to work for it. Because we, at the end of the day, are motivationally driven people. Right? When we know a goal, we try to strive towards that goal. As human beings, it's very difficult to establish a task or establish a series of work if we don't have anything to look forward to, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over again in the Quran, He promises to us that if you work hard, if you are good, if you follow the commandments that I've given you, if you submit as a believer, then paradise is ultimately waiting for you. So what is it for you as a believer that motivates you towards paradise? What about paradise really, really motivates you? So today, inshallah, we're going to be talking about three concepts generally. Number one is the reality of the akhirah. What does the akhirah mean? Why is the hereafter necessary for us as Muslims? Number two is we're going to talk about the descriptions of paradise, okay? We're going to be talking about the descriptions in the Quran that illustrate the paradise, Jannah al-Firdaus al-A'la for us. And then we're going to talk, inshallah, the third point is we're going to talk about the descriptions of hellfire. Guys, there are a very interesting amount of narrations about the descriptions of paradise and hellfire. There's actually a beautiful, beautiful narration from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he went on this journey called Isra al-Mi'raj, he ascended to the heavens. Angel Jibril alayhi salam, he actually gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a tour through paradise and through the outskirts of hellfire. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his own eyes, he was able to see what paradise would look like. And he was able to see with his own eyes the descriptions and details of the hellfire. And it's very, very, the paradise narrations are very motivating. It seems so beautiful. It's almost surreal. and the narrations about hellfire are almost, they're like bone chilling. They're terrifying. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today, inshallah. So without further ado, the first concept we want to talk about is the idea of an akhirah. Why is an akhirah even necessary? Why do we as Muslims believe in a hereafter? Well, the belief in the hereafter, man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir, is actually a fundamental belief of our, a fundamental part of our belief system in our faith. Okay, it's one of the six pillars of Iman. It's one of the things that motivates us and drives us to do what we do as believers, right? If this world was meaningless, if this world did not have an end goal to it, then it would be extremely difficult for you and me to get up and pray five times a day. It would be difficult for you and me to get up and avoid things that are, we know that are bad for us. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this leads to paradise and this leads to the thing that we call Jahannam, right? So we want to be people that believe in something called the hereafter, that this life was not created without purpose, right? A lot of people unfortunately believe, and now it's almost like modern day, it's very popular to think that this life is just random, right? Everything is random. Everything is through metaphysical, you know, like just choice and random kind of, you know, nature, and you're here because science told you to be here, and you're here out of a random selection of, you know, humanity and creation. But at the end of the day, as Muslims, we believe that there's more than that, right? How cruel would it be that if we lived our entire life and at the end of it, there was nothing? You just, you know, you just combust into dust and that's it, right? There's nothing after it. How cruel of a world would that be? But Allah Ta'ala, He tells us that there is something called the Akhirah. Right, something called the Akhirah to look forward to. And the Akhirah is special for several different reasons. And one of the reasons why the Akhirah is special is that it represents ultimate justice. How many of y'all that are watching right now on the Instagram Live and Facebook Live, how many of y'all have witnessed injustice in your life in this world? How many of y'all have witnessed injustice or things that have been unjust in your life on this earth? I know I have for sure. I know I have 100%. You don't have to even look very far. Just turn on your TV or look on your phone and see the news around the world. Look at the news around the world. Every other tabloid, every other story is about somebody taking advantage of another person. Every other story is about somebody doing something harmful to another person. It's somebody oppressing another group of people. It's somebody harming another group of people. It's somebody taking advantage of another group of people. And this is the way this world works. And once in a while, these people do get caught, right? Once in a while, people do get caught. Sometimes, you know, the ends do justify the means. But in this life that we know as very imperfect, there will definitely be moments where true justice is not served, right? And I want you guys to think, like critically think right now, how many moments in world history have you thought to yourself, man, that's not closure. You know, whether you talk about slavery, you talk about, you know, the enslavement of indigenous people, the absolute, you know, hardship that the Native Americans went through in this country, even the colonization of people all around the world, racism, fascism, arrogance, this, that, all that stuff, oppression of so many groups of people. And sometimes at the end of the day, these people get off scot-free. And that is the nature of this world sometimes, that sometimes people will be held accountable for their actions, but in vast majority of cases, people will be let go, right? It's almost like a new page was turned over and they're done. That's it. As Muslims, we believe the reason why an akhirah is necessary is because these people have something to answer to, right? You cannot just live a life of immorality and say, like, I'm the same as a person who was good their entire life. How cruel would that be, that a person who causes harm to other people their entire life has the same exact end as a person who does good to people their entire life? We as Muslims believe that even if you get away with it in this life, in the next, Allah will hold you accountable. And this works in both ways, with people who are good. With people who are good, and I'm sure so many of you guys have had experiences where you have witnessed people doing good things, beautiful things, but sometimes they don't get rewarded for it, right? Sometimes the good people are the ones that don't get rewarded. Sometimes the good people are the ones that end up being forgotten. And in this life, in this unjust life, sometimes it happens. But in the hereafter, وَلَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, that the reward of the doers of good will never be lost forever. Even if it's lost in this life, they weren't rewarded for what they did in this life, they will ultimately get the reward in the hereafter. This is why it's so imperative to believe in the hereafter. And by the way, this is why a majority of people throughout prophetic history would struggle to believe in a hereafter. Why? Because it just holds people accountable. It just holds people accountable. When there is an akhirah and a belief in an afterlife, you can't just scot-free do whatever you want to, right? When you have this belief in an afterlife, this belief in an afterlife, you know that there's a burden on you now. That when you do something, there's this accountability factor, that you're responsible now. When you harm somebody, when you say something to somebody, and even if you get away with it in this life, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you about it in the hereafter. And sometimes for people, it's scary. And sometimes it terrifies people to the bone. This is why there's verses in the Quran, right? You know, Allah says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen, Ya Rasulullah, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ, the people who deny the deen. The word deen, by the way, in Arabic, you know, it almost plays a duplicate role. The word deen, a lot of us know it as the religion, but the word deen also is translated out as the day of judgment or the hereafter, the afterlife. And Allah says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen the people who are in denial of the afterlife? They're in denial of the judgment day. Why? Because it terrifies them, you know? And sometimes as human beings, the interesting thing is that we try to deny things that scare us, right? We try to avoid things that scare us, okay? Like, I know that if I go down that road, like, I'm terrified of, like, dogs. I know I'm going to get, like, chased by a dog. So I'm just going to avoid that road, okay? Or I'm afraid of, like, that highway. It's, like, super fast-paced and, like, people drive crazy. It's basically all of Dallas, Texas. And, like, so I'm going to avoid that highway. I'm going to go on, like, the freeway, the inner roads. You know, we avoid things that we're afraid of. And a lot of people throughout human history avoided the idea of the Day of Judgment because it terrified them. Then after that, you know, if they accepted the belief on the day of the Day of Judgment or the hereafter, they could not do things, you know, just, you know, freely anymore. They knew that there was a sense of, like, you know, at one point or the other, you're going to get caught. At one point or the other, you know, you have some sort of responsibility. And for a believer, that responsibility sometimes sounds beautiful, right? Like, finally, alhamdulillah, you know, all my hard work is going to pay off one day. You know, when I pray, I get up in the morning at 6 a.m., 6:20 a.m., and I drop, you know, 2 rak'ah for Fajr Salah, and I stay up late at night sometimes to pray Isha, and sometimes I don't see, you know, like, sometimes your spirituality will actually not result in immediate worldly gratification. But a true believer knows that at the end of it all, they'll get rewarded somehow, right? And this is the reason why the akhirah is so beautiful, right? This is the reason why the akhirah is so beautiful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He actually says this in the Quran, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. Allah says, He who created death and life to test you, which of you is best indeed? أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. You know, like, this world is literally supposed to be like an exam for you, right? To see how you do. Because some people will do better than others. And it's not for us to judge. It's for Allah to judge at the end of the day. But at the end, it is a test for us, right? And we have to be ready for that exam. And so now we're going to talk a little bit about the descriptions of paradise. What are we working towards, y'all? There has got to be an end goal. You know, when I was, like, young, you know, when your parents tell you to do things, you always have the question, why, right? Your mom's like, well, you need to go pray, right? I'm like, why? And your mom's like, oh, well, you need to go study for the exam. Why? You need to go clean the dishes. Why? And, you know, like, sometimes, like, I don't know about y'all's parents, but my mom and my grandmother always used to have, like, a very, very famous line. They go, there's no answer to why, sometimes just do it. Okay, like, this is, like, tasty mentality 101. But it actually teaches a cool principle that, like, you don't always deserve an answer to everything in your life, you know? I mean, because, like, as an adult, there are so many things in life that doesn't make sense, right? Like, why does this work this way? Why does that work that way, right? And sometimes in life, you just have to accept the harsh reality that you may not understand everything, okay? You know, my daddy in Bangladesh, he would always say, kenor uttor nai. Kenor uttor nai literally means like, there's no answer to why, okay? I just spoke Bangla for all of those who are wondering. So now all of you guys know my nationality or my ethnicity, right? I'm Bengali. And she would always say, kenor uttor nai. There's no answer to why. Right? So stop asking why, all right? But when it comes to our deen, we ask why, right? Like, why am I worshiping? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? And you learn throughout your life that Allah deserves to be worshipped, that Allah deserves to be prayed to. Allah deserves your dua, your supplication. But for us, what's in it for us? And what's in it for us is this right here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran describes paradise to a very, very beautiful extent. And some of these descriptions of paradise will actually be very, very beautiful for a lot of you guys, because we'll realize together how amazing this promise is of Allah's. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, "Inna ashab al jannatil yawma fi shughulin fakihun." Okay, he says, indeed, the companions, ashab al jannah, the companions of paradise, that day will be amused and joyful. Right? They will be amused and they will be joyful. They will be so happy with what they received that day. And then Allah says, "Hum wa azwajuhum fi dhilalin 'alal ara'iki muttaki'un." Allah says, and their spouses will be with them in the shade, reclining on adorned couches. Allah says this, and literally, this is actually in Surah 36, Surah Yasin. Allah talks about this, that on the day of judgment, imagine, you'll just be like ultimately happy. Right? Because happiness sometimes flees you in this life. It comes and it goes, right? Sometimes you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, dang, this is a really good day. MashaAllah, right? I feel so awesome. And then like the next day you wake up and it's like cloudy and muggy and rainy. And you're like, oh my God, like seasonal sadness is real, right? Honestly, I love weather that's like cloudy. For some reason, it reminds me of like the fall, and it makes me like want to go and grab like a hot coffee or something like that. But like some people get really affected by like days like that. You know, some days you wake up and you feel good about yourself because everything's going your way. And the next day you wake up and nothing's going your way and you seem extremely distraught about everything that's going on in a 24-hour period. And Allah says that this life is like that. That you wake up, some days you feel great, some days you feel bad. But in paradise, there are no days that are bad. Can you imagine? And sometimes it's really like difficult for people to almost picture this. Because in our finite, you know, understanding, we can't imagine a life in which everything is happy, because we've experienced sadness. So sadness is like a part of our understanding, our memory, right? But in paradise, we won't understand what sad is anymore, right? Can you imagine a life where you won't even understand what sadness is, or anger, or like anxiety? You're just happy. You're content. Every part of your life is good, alhamdulillah. And Allah describes it in the Quran, right? And then Allah says, "Lahum fiha fakihatun walahum ma yadda'un." Allah says, and there they have fruits and whatever they ask for, right? Allah describes for them, you know, the people in paradise, one of the main things that they will eat is fruits of like any kind. You know, you like a little bit of sweet, you like a little bit of tanginess, you like a little bit of tartness, you like a little bit of, you know, that nice, like, you know, tropical flavor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says fruits are abundant in paradise. Whatever type of fruit or food that you want, it's all for you, O believer. Okay? And then Allah says, وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ. And anything you ask for, it's like automatic service, right? You snap your fingers and you say, I want this. And subhanAllah, boom, right there. Okay. You say, I want that. And it's right here. You're like, I want the Cowboys to win a Super Bowl sometime. Boom, it happened. It may not happen in this life. Probably won't happen in this life. But inshallah, it'll happen the hereafter for all you Dallas Cowboys fans, right? Like certain things may not happen in this life, but Allah says, وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ. It'll happen in the hereafter at a snap of a finger. Okay, and then the end, Allah says, "Salamun qawlan min Rabbir Rahim," that and peace is a word from the Lord of mercy. Salam is just going to be like encompassing everything in the hereafter. Salam is going to be everything in paradise. It's just going to be engulfed in peace. Everything will just be super serene, right? And there are other narrations about, you know, the paradise and Jannah and all these different things. You know, Allah refers to Jannah as, tajri min tahtiha al-anhar, right? That it's a garden through which rivers flow, right? It's a garden through which rivers flow. And the Prophet ﷺ actually confirms this, because in the Quran, there's a very, very short surah, a surah that we're all actually guilty of reciting a lot during the day because it's so short. Inna a'atayna kal-kawthar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there will be a fountain called Al-Kawthar on the Day of Judgment. And it's a fountain from, you know, which the believers will drink from. And Kawthar, the fountain, is on the Day of Judgment in the plains of gathering. But the actual Kawthar river, right? The river of Kawthar will be flowing from Jannah, from paradise, and it will be coming down to this fountain and augmenting and supplying this fountain. And so there are rivers in paradise. Jannat min tajri min tahtiha al-anhar, right? That the rivers will be flowing through paradise. What will the rivers of paradise be like? The rivers of paradise, narration say, will be composed of a few things. Water, right? Water, milk, honey. Surprisingly, for a lot of what's going to surprise us is like wine, right? And all of you are thinking, you're like, wine is haram, right? Alcohol is forbidden, okay? What kind of fake imam is this guy talking about wine in paradise? That's actually a narration that wine will be halal in paradise. You know, things that you abstain from in this life will be permissible for you in the hereafter, right? Because over there's a sense of perfection there. Nothing there is going to be imperfect. And so Allah will supply the believers with all these different things. And Allah also, and there's narrations that also say, you know, have you ever wondered what you're going to look like in paradise, right? Like, what am I going to look like? I'm like, when I die, most likely I'll be like old, inshallah, right? Unless you die early. But most likely people will not be in like the peak of their physique when they pass away. In paradise, when you make it to the promised lands, there's a narration that actually says that you will be viewed as your prime physique. So whatever age you were most beautiful, that's how you will look in paradise. So if you look great in your 20s, you'll be in your 20s in paradise. If some people look great in their 40s, you'll look great in paradise as a 40-year-old. Some of you look great when you're like 19 or 18, you'll look great there, right? Like everybody will be raised in like their prime, like physical appearance. You'll look beautiful because you'll literally be in your prime, okay? Another narration says that palaces will be your home. Right? There's no like small homes in paradise. Everybody will have palaces. Okay. Another narration says that, you know, you will eat, but you will never eat out of hunger, and you'll stop eating, but you'll never stop eating from being full. This is like, for a lot of us, it's like really messing with our minds, right? Because on this earth, we know that we eat when we're hungry. Some of us are really hungry all the time, like me. But, and then you stop eating when you're full, right? Like we have these like limitations. We have these kind of boundaries and barriers of physical ability that, you know, we eat when we're hungry, we drink when we're thirsty, and we stop eating and drinking when our stomachs are full. In paradise, those laws of of physics don't apply, right? In paradise, you eat not because you're hungry, but just because you want to. Some of y'all are like, well, I do that right now. I just go to the pantry and eat when I'm not even hungry right now. But in paradise, you'll be able to do that like infinitely, okay? And you will never stop eating because you're full. You'll stop eating because you don't want to eat anymore. That's it. It's like indulging, man. You know, like all the things like people tell you to stay away from in this life, those things will be like offered to you in paradise, right? Like no dieting, no sort of portion control, no carb diets, nothing like that. Imagine like everything is good and nothing will make you unhealthy. Nothing will get you out of shape. Everything is literally supposed to be for your enjoyment in paradise, okay? There was actually a beautiful narration from the life of the Prophet when Jibreel was giving him that tour of Jannah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he passed by these people that were sitting. And this is actually a narration from when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he saw like a preview of Jannah. And he saw people sitting together and eating and drinking. And he looks at Jibreel and he says, "Ya Jibreel, who are these people? What are they doing? Why are they just lounging around and drinking and eating and having a good time?" And Jibreel alayhi salam, he answers the Prophet and he says, "These are the people that in the dunya, These are the people that in the dunya, whenever they used to pass by a place of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would all stop and take part in the gathering. You know, we call this like a majlis, right? Like an area of remembrance, right? Like a setting that literally these people who would be driving on their way home from work and they see like a masjid on the side of the road and like, you know what? I'm going to get my asr in really quickly. Or if you're driving around town one day and you see like somebody hosting a program at the community center, you just stop by for like 5 minutes and you just lend your ear. You stop by and you just give 2 minutes of your time. You give 5 minutes of your time and you stop there and you kind of partake in it. Jibreel alayhi salam says about you. He says that you on the day of judgment and when you get into paradise, you'll be gathered around all your friends and eating and drinking and happily talking and joking around with them in Jannah. Can you imagine, right? Another narration says that the Prophet ﷺ, he saw a person putting like a seed into the ground, right? Putting like a seed, like a small seed into the ground. And they stand back and within the blink of an eye, the seed, it sprouts and a tree comes out and it produces fruit and they're eating from it. And within seconds, all of this is happening. Things that take months and years to happen in this life, right? Like I'm going through it right now. My wife and I, we like planted like these herbs on our patio and we're like, oh my goodness, like when are we finally going to get like some mint that we can pick or some like chilies that we can use in our food? It takes months or even years sometimes for like fruits to come out from trees that you planted. But in paradise, the Prophet ﷺ, he says that when a believer, he plants a seed, the seed sprouts, the tree comes out and they're enjoying the fruit. All within the blink of an eye, it's happening in front of their eyes. And the Prophet asks, who are these people? And Jibreel alayhi salam, he says to the Prophet, he says, these are the people that used to strive with their time, their wealth, their talents, all for the sake of Allah. Everything they used to do it for the sake of Allah. Whether they were engineers or teachers or doctors or business people or artists or photographers or sales representatives, whatever they used to do, they used to always have the intention of La ilaha illallah behind them. And because of that investment, their investment now is paying off here in paradise. SubhanAllah, right? How beautiful is that? Now, with the reality of paradise, we all know as Muslims, there is a reality called the hellfire, a reality called Jahannam. And so what is Jahannam? What is hellfire? There's some surahs in the Quran. And to be quite honest with you, I personally don't like to linger too much on the descriptions of hellfire because I like teaching people through motivating people. I like teaching people through kind of giving people good things to look forward to. But sometimes it's actually very necessary for a person, for a believer, to understand the opposite side of what they're trying to achieve and how to avoid it, right? And if this wasn't true, then Allah would actually not include any verses that describe hellfire in the Quran, but He does. He does because He wants us to know that, like, we don't even want to go towards it, right? You know, when like a parent like tells their kid, like, don't touch the stove, right? Don't touch the stove because it's hot. And the kid's like, yeah, so what? Like, you know, like when I go outside in the summertime, it's hot. Nothing happens to me. Like I sweat it out for a second, but it's fine. But you know, the heat that comes off of a stove and if you touch it is much different than like if you just go outside on the month of May or June. And so the parent tells the child, if you touch the top of the stove, your skin's going to get burnt and it's going to hurt and sting and it's going to scar, right? If you touch a stovetop, your hand is never going to be the same again. It's going to burn and you're going to lose feeling in your nerves. Sometimes a parent has to tell a child a vivid description of the punishment because a child may understand it through that. Oh my goodness, that's what it's going to be like. Oh man, I don't even want to go close to that, right? And so Allah sometimes, He describes Jahannam in the Quran as a means of teaching us that we don't even want to know any more about it, right? That we don't want to know any more about it, Ya Allah. That's enough for me, right? And in the Quran, in Surah An-Naba, Allah actually describes the idea of hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, "Inna jahannama kanat mirsada." This is one of the most, to me personally, this is one of the most terrifying descriptions of Jahannam that I've ever read in my life. It's a very, very short ayah in Surah An-Naba. Allah says, "Inna jahannama kanat mirsada." Very simple, like literally like five or four phrases. Inna jahannama kanat mirsada. The translation of this verse will send chills down everyone's spine. It literally translates out to, inna, verily, indeed, jahannam kanat mirsada, will be lying there waiting for people. Subhanallah. You know, like when authors give like personification towards things that are like not human, and it almost makes them a little bit more terrifying in description. So Allah says, inna jahannama kanat mirsada, that hellfire has been lying there waiting for people. It's literally waiting for people. It's waiting for its fuel. It's waiting to be filled with people. Like hellfire is literally just sitting there waiting for people. Subhanallah, it's like terrifying. Allah says then, he says, لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبَ. Allah says, for the transgressors, it'll be a place of return. Subhanallah. لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبَ. That for the transgressors, for the people who continuously deny Allah, deny Allah, deny Allah, it's actually a place of return. It's like where they're going to return to. You know, like all of us, inshallah, inshallah, want to qualify as people where our return is paradise. Our return is paradise. But for some people, Allah says, لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبَ, that hellfire is actually going to be their place of ultimate return. And then Allah says, لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابَ. He says, and in there, they will remain for ages. Okay? لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابَ. That in there, people will remain for ages and ages and ages. It's like, you know, that one of the descriptions of hellfire is really scary, is that, you know, like, we think to ourselves that if I go into hellfire, I'm going to die, right? Like, inshallah, Allah is allowing me to die if I even touch the hellfire, right? But the description of hellfire is that when you pass away in hellfire, Allah recreates you and makes you go through that process all over again, right? That like when in hellfire, you know, like you pass away or you get burned, it's like, okay, it's over, right? My punishment is over. No. You get remade, your skin is reapplied, and you go through that all over again. You go through that all over again. You burn, you die, recreated, burn, die, recreated, circular, like vicious circle, right? And Allah says, and he says, لَا يَذُقُونَ فِيهَا بَرَدًا وَلَا شَرَابًا. And Allah says, they will not taste any coolness in drink. They will not taste any coolness or drink. They will not taste anything that's good in the hellfire. Nothing that touches their lips will be pleasant. Everything that touches their lips will be illa hamiman wa ghassaqa. Allah says, except hamiman wa ghassaqa. The word hamim in here is like scalding water, boiling water, wa ghassaqa, and something that's very dark and foul. Okay? Like, what will the people of hellfire be drinking and eating? Some of the narrations actually say that there is a fruit in hellfire, right? Because there's fruits in paradise. But likewise, there are fruits in hellfire, but they're very different from the fruits in Jannah. The fruits in hellfire, the fruits in Jahannam. So one of the narrations say, and I want everyone to kind of bear with me here, because this is like something that I sometimes can't even finish talking about. The fruit in hellfire, the narrations say, that when the person who consumes it, they consume it, it's so hot and it's so sharp that the fruit will actually tear through their entire body and come out, but the people will continue to eat it because they're so hungry. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, right? Like, you're so hungry that you eat fruit because there's nothing else to eat, and when you eat it, you swallow it and it goes through your entire system and it tears through your entire body and comes out, and you are so hungry that you do it over and over again. This is one of the confirmed narrations, a sahih narration from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? And so, you know, these descriptions are descriptions. Why did Allah give it to us? Not because of a fear tactic, but because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be very, very careful about, you know, not taking it lightly. Not taking it lightly. There's another surah in the Quran, Surah Al-Humazah. Allah Ta'ala, he actually says in the Quran, he says, "Kalla la yunbadhanna fil hutama." Allah describes the hellfire as a hutama. Now, what's the word hutama? It translates out to this definition of like a crusher, something that crushes you. Okay, Allah says kalla la yumbadanna fil hutama. Okay, and you know sometimes Allah in the Quran, He actually kind of like gives us a rhetorical question because He doesn't want you to question it anymore, right? Like, I told you enough about it. Don't even ask me anymore about it because I don't want to tell you. It's too bad. It's too much, right? It's like when like a parent tries to tell their kid some bad news and their kid like is curious. They want to know more, but the parent knows that the more they learn, the more they'll get scared, right? And so Allah says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحُطَمَةِ. And what can make you understand what is al-hutama, the hellfire, the crusher? Like, what will help you understand what it is? Allah says, narullahi al-muqada. Okay? Narullahi al-muqada. That it is a fire. It's a fire that is continuously fueled. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that innaha alayhim mu'sada. Okay, mu'sada, that indeed the hellfire will be closed upon people. And he says, fi amadim mumaddada, that it's like fires that like we have never seen before, right? You know, when you talk about hellfire, sometimes you're like, oh, it's a fire, you know, it's a fire. I have a fireplace, you know, I've seen fires out in the public. I've seen people do bonfires, roasting marshmallows and all. No. Allah says, fi amadim mumaddada. These fires are like columns, like they're columns of fire. Like they're so tall, they're so high that your eyes will not be able to see other than fire. It's somehow like I don't like to talk about it too much because it actually terrifies me as a person. Fi amadin mumaddada. The columns of fire will be so tall that you will not be able to see over it. You know, at least here when we see a fire, even like, you know, the forest fires and California and Washington and Oregon, may Allah Ta'ala, you know, relieve these people of that challenge and that test. At least with the fires we see on this earth, you can see like an end to it, right? You can see an end to it. You can see like, you know, the horizon. You can see the sky at least. Even if it's smoking in the sky, you can still see other than fire. Allah says in this fire, in the fire of Jahannam, fi amadin mumaddada, it's columns, column upon column upon column, and you won't be able to see out of it. And so, you know, the descriptions of Jahannam are many, but I don't want to go too deep into it, but I wanted to end with this. I wanted to end with this today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us very vivid descriptions of the hereafter for multiple reasons, right? It's a means of motivation for the believer. It's a means of, asking for forgiveness for those who have wronged other people and, you know, neglected Allah in their lives. It's a means of people kind of getting a reality check that, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in this life and we work and we socially gather and we do this and we do that. And sometimes we lose track that this life is very, very, very short, you know, that this life is very short. And because of like the lightheartedness of this world, that everyone kind of makes a joke out of everything, right? And by the way, like I know for sure, 100%, like our young people, we struggle with this a lot, by the way. Like we make jokes out of everything, right? Like when we say like, oh my God, like that person's going to hell, ha ha ha. Like, you know, like they heard about this before. Like, oh, I'll see you in hell. You know, I made this joke. No, man, we don't joke around about that. You know, Allah tells us in the Quran, like this is stuff that you don't even want to like joke about because it's not a joke. It's not a joke. It's reality, right? It's reality. And Allah, the way that He kind of gets us to get serious sometimes, and the beauty in Allah is that Allah is our creator, right? He is Khaliq, we're makhluq. He is the creator, we are the creation. And so obviously the creator will know the best way his creation learns, right? It's almost like a fantastic teacher. A fantastic teacher will always know the different ways that their students learn. Some students may learn through lecture. Some students will learn more through activity. Some students may learn more through visual aids, right? Everybody learns in a different way. So Allah, He gives us in the Quran multiple facets of learning. Right? Some people learn through stories of the prophets. Some people learn through commands, right? Some people are told to do what to do and they're fine with it, you know? You know, Allah says, aslim, you know, submit. And some people say, I submit, Ya Allah. But some people need stories to learn. Some people need stories of Prophet Yusuf and Prophet Musa and Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Hud and Prophet Saleh, and all these different people. Now, some people learn through motivation, right? This is the description of Jannah, right? Jannatin tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. It's a garden. It's a beautiful place through which rivers flow. And some people learn through a little bit of reality check. Some people learn through a little bit of a reality check, right? Fi nari jahannam, that there is a fire of hell that we believe in, right? Fi amadin mumaddada, that its columns of fire are tall, right? This is something, wama adraka mal hutama, like how can I even describe any more of this fire, right? So some of us learn in different ways, but the point is that we learn. The point is that we learn, about these things through the different ways that Allah teaches us. If you're a person who learns through commands, kudos to you. If you're a person who learns through stories, kudos to you. If you're a person who learns through motivation, good for you. And if you're a person who learns through a little bit of a stern warning, good for you as well. Everybody learns in a different way. And we ultimately want to be so far away from the concept of a hellfire that we run away from it. And when you run away from that, you ultimately go towards paradise, right? You know, there's a person who used to always say, and I always remember this, that you're never the same. You're either going forward or you're going back, right? In life, you're either progressing or you're regressing. We want to be people who are constantly progressing. We want to be people who are improving, right? We want to be people who are going towards paradise, because you can't stay in the middle, right? At the end of our lives, when we go and meet Allah, Allah will tell us, Jannah, Jahannam. There is no ultimate reality where you will just be caught in the middle of those two. Everyone is destined for one or the other. We have to make a choice, y'all. We have to make a choice. And this life will present opportunities for us that will distract us from the good choice. There will be things in this life that will distract you from the choice that's worth making. But we have to ultimately decide what is more important for us. Is it happiness and luxury and desire and, you know, everything here? Or do we sacrifice a little bit here? Because Allah says this life is enjoyable, but your ultimate is in the hereafter, right? وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. Allah says that in the Quran. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. That the hereafter is always going to be better than anything you've known here. Everything here is limited, man. Everything we here know, that we know here, is it has limitations. Can't go further than that, right? And the hereafter, in Jannah, there's no limits. There's no boundaries. There's no sadness. There's no anxiety. There's no unhappiness. There's no anger. There's no grief. There's no depression. And that is Jannat and Tajri min tahtiha anhar. A place through which rivers flow, a garden for the believers. And inshallah, may Allah guide us all there and allow us to all reach there. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Wa nashadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu alayk. Wa jazakumullahu khairan, y'all. Really appreciate you guys joining in every single week in and week out. Mondays and Wednesdays have been kind of like a routine for us, alhamdulillah. And we are so grateful for our Roots community for always backing us up and being with us all the time. And may Allah Ta'ala accept from you, accept from us, accept from everyone that's on this journey together. And we have a few more sessions. We have Wednesday, inshallah. And then we have Monday and Wednesday of next week. And then in October, the first Monday of October, we're actually going to start our Salah series. So we're done with our Pillars of Iman, right? We're doing the 5 series. We're going to be done with the Shahada series by the end of this month of September. And then the beginning of October, we start the series of Salah, the details of Salah, why it's important, how do we go about it, what do we do when we're trying to be, you know, people who engage in Salah, and all those different things, inshallah. We look forward to that. But thank you guys so much for joining again. We love you guys for the sake of Allah. And may Allah protect you and keep you guys safe and keep you guys happy and secure. And may Allah Ta'ala reward all of you guys for what you do. Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.